Here's the thing. You either know what you want to do or you don't. And if you don't, the more you keep hitting your head against the wall trying to figure that out, it's not going to come to you. And so we're faced with this cold, hard reality that we need to make decisions about our career before we've got any knowledge of how to make them. And on top of that, we know that most people will get the choice wrong in their heart. Meaning, there's a study by the University of Phoenix that says that over 70% of people under the age of 30 want to change careers. So you're forced to make this decision before you know how to make the decision. And then once you do, you're going to feel like it's wrong. So we're forced to feel like we're failures in a sense. And so that was the epidemic part, is that so many people, the majority of people, come out of school and feel like the choice they made was the wrong choice. So instead of putting so much pressure on the answer to that question, what do you want to do? We need to help students, we need to help people get much more excited about the question, to explore that, because it's not about the right platform creating the right life. There is no right platform. You find a platform and then you start to build it and start to adjust it to make it fit your life. And so many people feel like, I got the answer wrong, now I'm screwed. You're not screwed, you just need to start thinking about it a different way. And so that was the epidemic, and it's not just you, it's not just me, it's almost everyone. That idea that you're gonna change careers 5 or 7 times, there's actually no group who studies that. There's no group that says this is a career change and you're gonna do it this many times, because nobody can define what a career change is. And so the best way to think about this is you have one career. And so the important thing is to figure out how to navigate that one path, as opposed to feeling like you're gonna be able to do something for a little while and then jump onto a different track. Because here's the challenge. Again, people come out of school in their career and they feel like they made the wrong choice. And so they feel like they've got one of three options. They can either just keep doing the same thing, even though they don't like it. They look at their boss's job, they don't want it. So they can either just keep doing that, climb that ladder, or they can disengage and feel like, this isn't for me, I'm gonna live for my evenings and my weekends. Or the third option is they feel like they can kind of start all over again. But starting all over again becomes very difficult, even though in our brain it makes sense. So very quickly, you feel like you're stuck on this path. And so we see so many people start to lose satisfaction at work, lose happiness at work, because they feel like, I made the wrong choice and now there's nothing I can do about it. But the first question is, what's your dream life? And so many people have a general idea of that. They'll see the success of somebody else and feel like, well, that looks like a dream, but they've never put the time in to actually figure out, what is the specific life that I'm looking for? What's the specific mix of life and work that I'm looking for? One of the challenges we have with jobs nowadays is that we allow somebody else to own our control of work. We allow somebody else to write down our job description, to define the boundaries of our work. And so as a result, we never declare it for ourselves. And it's totally a mistake that people make. You need to be in control of your life's work. You need to be in control of what you do with your productive time. And once you start to own that, once you start to own the path, get good at something very unique that others have value in, you can start to shape the career and life that you want. The world's actually moving so fast now that it's mathematically impossible to know what the right answer is. So even if you were the smartest person in the world or had the most self-awareness in the world, you wouldn't be able to know what the world is bringing at you. It's gonna be throwing at you. And so as a result, it's not about making the right choice, it's about after you make whatever choice and the world changes, how do you adjust? How do you change your trajectory? So if the first problem is choice, the second problem is life leadership. Choice brings with it the need to lead your life. And so many people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to see a target on the horizon that nobody else can see. They don't know how to change the path they're on to now point at that new target and get out there given all the demands that are in their world. So those two problems, choice and life leadership, are really getting in the way of people's success. When we allow students, when we allow young people to accept the fact that the choice they make may not be right, they can take some pressure off themselves, they can take some pressure off that choice and just recognize it's about the adjustments along the way. Self-awareness is the key to life leadership, because it'll always bring you back to the truth. It'll always bring you back to that spot that says, is my life working or is it not? And if it's not, where do I start to point? And that's one of the key ideas of life leadership, And so to understand self-awareness, you need to understand life leadership, which is the ability to say, if I feel like I'm not on the right path, I can actually change the trajectory of my life. It's the belief that you can do that, but it brings a couple questions with it. Once you're on a path that's no longer working, the next question is, well, what's the right path? And the only way to declare that for yourself, to declare that, to actually find true success, not success that's measured in fancy cars or promotions, but true life success. Self-awareness helps you figure out what's the better path. It also helps you figure out that the path you're on isn't working. So again, it always brings you back to where you need to be. So I'd say self-awareness, if there's one skill set people can develop, it's really enhancing their ability to understand themselves. Given all the change in the world around them, they need to understand, is the world changing around me? Am I changing? Or can I not tell the difference between the two? And understanding those differences, understanding who you are within this world that's changing so fast, is so key, because it allows you then to develop your leadership, develop your life leadership, to say things aren't working and I actually have the ability to change the trajectory, and that's now where I want to go. The greatest leaders the world has ever seen, we can name a few of them, they didn't get permission from anyone to be a leader. They just decided not to learn about leadership from a textbook or from somebody else. Maybe they didn't learn at all. They just decided to live it. I've met people in southern India who can't read and write and have led movements over a million people, led over a million people out of poverty, and they can't write their own name. Yet they've led millions of people. It's extraordinary, but it's the choice to live it as opposed to learn it. We think that learning is just about taking information that's not in your head and putting it in your head. It's this idea of making you smarter. That's one kind of learning, and we default to it because that's what schools teach us. But learning actually has two other layers to that. There's another kind of learning that says, because of what's now coming in my head, do I see the world differently? Does my perspective change? And whether that answer is it does change or it doesn't, at least you've challenged your assumptions. You've challenged yourself to say, do I know something that forces me to understand the world differently? That's the second kind of learning. And then the third kind of learning is, if I've learned something new and it's forced me to see the world differently, can I actually show up differently? Can I actually change who I am, change my behaviors, change how I'm interacting with the world because of what I've learned? And most people fail to take learning down to that depth. But once you do, it puts the responsibility of learning on your shoulders to say, what are you going to do about it? Now that you've learned these concepts, how are you going to change your life? How are you going to make the world better? And once you get there, learning starts to take on a totally different weight in your life. When you confront the fact that you're going to make choices about life that you're going to get wrong, in fact, you can't get all of them right. There's just way too much data. There's way too much to sort through to get all the answers right. Then it comes down to a few things. Number one, are you self-aware enough to recognize the path I'm on isn't working? It's so important. And then are you self-aware enough to know what's a better path for you, for your life? Not for somebody else's life, but for your true success. Are you going to be able to know that? And then, once you can do those two things, recognize the path isn't working and recognize the path that you should be on, can you actually change the trajectory of your life? Can you change the way you show up? Can you change your behaviors to actually now line up with the outcome you're seeking? What we actually find is the number one predictor of success is, are you surrounded by people? Are you connected to people, lots of people, who think differently than you? Not just are you connected to lots of people, but are you connected to lots of people who think differently? Can you get new ideas, new intel, new data coming in? Because again, the world is changing so fast and you're going to get your choices wrong. So you need to get data to recognize, ooh, I better make a change because something's coming that's going to take me out. And so that's actually the number one statistical predictor of success. Are you connected to people who think differently? And then the next one after that is emotional intelligence. Are you self-aware? Do you understand your own emotions? Do you understand other people's emotions? And can you moderate between the two? Can you effectively work understanding both and drive things forward given your understanding of the emotional side of things. It comes down to leadership. And that same idea of leadership, whether you're doing it in a company or you're doing it in your life, it's the same process. I'm on a path, it's no longer working. I'm going to make that adjustment and move towards a new target.